Good morning. Welcome to the Mr. Elephant Podcast. It is Thursday, September 10th, the first day of the 2020 NFL season. I'm your host, Jamie Mottram. Joining me here to talk about, the Washington football team. It's Matt Turrell. Hey, Matt.
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
I'm good. I was trying to come up with the catchy way of introducing you, or introducing you. But I couldn't think of anything that wasn't problematic that would be like a reference to this team.
Well, as people keep saying in the modern culture, it's just like you can't have any opinion without getting canceled, man. I don't believe that for the record.
Next time I hear a white guy say that for real, I'm going to lose my shit.
Who just said it? Yes. Oh, no, it's this morning, I think, or last night. John Cleese was saying something like that. And it was like, come on, man. Whatever. Anyway.
I'm sure it sucks to be a comedian. Whatever.
Well, I'm sure it sucks to be a comedian in general. It just seems like a miserable life. So
yeah, that's how you become good. we have no preparation. We have no format. I was thinking we could do like a quick at the off season, just to touch the high notes. There were many, and then like a forecast of the actual season coming up.
I think that makes a ton of sense. I'm on board.
Okay, agree or disagree? This was the best Redskin off season. Ever the best one that I can remember.
Yes, and I don't know what number two would be. It's funny. And look, some of these things, it sounds like I'm being overly negative towards specific human beings, and I'm sure they're delightful people with positive attributes in their personal lives. That said, there was a point towards the end of the offseason where I was saying, man, if they would just cut Adrian Peterson, they would have hit every single thing I wanted this offseason. And I mean, then it happened. I hesitate to say this, but I think 2020 is a pretty great year, man.
So yeah, the Peterson thing, once I saw that news, which is the most recent bit of news from the Redskins or the football team offseason, you were the first person I thought of. That was like the cherry on top. And it was also, it really did feel like a surprise, like a gift. Because it happened just a week before the season. Like, if they weren't going to keep Peterson, I would think they would have let him go before. But maybe that's a sign that the younger running backs or the other running backs that they've assembled are actually okay.
They certainly seem to believe that. I mean, also, there's the simple fact that it didn't make much sense to keep Peterson. I mean, what do you gain by running him out there, leaving everything else aside?
No, I'm with that. Yeah. But he made it this far.
Yeah. Well, it's weird, and it certainly seems to go somewhat against the like, hey, be a hardworking veteran and we'll respect you thing that they were doing. But the other thing I liked about it that I felt like went somewhat undermentioned is they did a really reasonably classy job of cutting him. They said they gave him his own day. They did a day early so he could have his own day. They did exit interviews. They posted pretty social media pictures. Julie Donaldson has even followed up and like posted pictures of him in Detroit being like, glad to see he's still smiling, great guy kind of thing. And I mean, that is, I don't know if it's cool or not. I don't know if I would care under 99% of circumstances, but it's exactly the kind of thing that this team would not have done in the past. And, that,
It's not cruel and petty for like no reason whatsoever.
Well, and it's not just cruel and petty. Like when I was there, which was admittedly a long time ago and now a total, almost entire regime, multiple regimes ago. One of the people who I worked closely with was a guy named Zach Bolno, and I loved him. He helped me figure out what I was doing when I knew what I do what I was doing there. And he got let go and replaced with Tony Wiley after, my first year or somewhere, a year and a half, something. And I tweeted something to the effect of from the Redskins blog account, I tweeted something thanks to Zach, whatever, something like what I just said to you. And the building went ballistic. Like multiple people called me. Tried to reach me at home because they didn't know where I was. They yelled at my wife to try to get a hold of me to make sure I took that down because we don't want that kind of thing out there. So like I can speak from actual tangible experience that is a dramatic change in organizational philosophy for the better. Also, I can speak from tangible experience that all those people were awful, and the fact that most of them are gone now is good.
I think I ran into Zach at a Potbelly Deli in Fairfax, within the last few years. And both of us kind of looked at each other like, I know you, but I don't know how. And then we figured it out. He seemed like a delightful guy. And also, shout out to Potbelly Deli. I love it. And we just got one.
My daughter would agree with you on that. I'm indifferent to Potbelly. I agree with you on Zach, delightful guy.
So much else happened. I mean, there's no Bruce Allen. The Redskins changed their name, which is incredible. They also didn't pick a new one, which I kind of like that too. I don't know. Do you want to talk about that
part? Sure, sure. I mean, what do you like about that part?
Well, I like that they didn't rush into it. Like, we're going to have to live with whatever it is. The important part was that it's not Redskins anymore. So that part's done. That's the important part. And then the second thing about the name, that's the next most important thing. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind, like, because obviously they weren't, like, planning to change the name this summer. So if they had gone with a new one, it would have been a pretty hurried process, and I don't have any faith that they would have stuck the landing.
No, and they may still very well not stick the landing, but I
still don't have much.
Yeah, but no, I agree. It's, and again, it reflects a change in approach to something more professional. Now, I know everybody, not everybody, I know many people are sort of making fun of the Washington football team name and like, oh, how do you get rid of the name when you didn't have something planned? And it's like, okay, well, that's a great question, but that was the old thinking that never thought there was going to be a need to change the name, so they didn't even bother. But the new thinking stopped them from immediately renaming themselves as, you know, the Warriors or something equally, you know, problematic. And I don't know. I like almost every single thing that has come out of that building this offseason without exception. And the name is included. I also happen to really like the new helmets and the slight tweaks to the uniforms. I think they look cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm totally fine with the aesthetic. I mean, it's burgundy and gold, whatever. Cool with me. I don't know if it's actually cool. I like it. I like that they didn't go with even a name that I would have liked, like Red Wolves or Red Tails. Like, will I still like that a year from now? I don't know. I kind of want to live with it a little bit. You know, I kind of want to, I'm glad they didn't rush into it, even though I was pro, you know, those names. I do think it's funny. I hear this a lot from just like, you know, regular dudes out there. They'll be like, man, they're so smart. They're going to make a ton of money on merch with the football team name, and then they're going to make a ton of money again with whatever it is after that. I'm like, no one's buying football team merch.
I might. I haven't yet, but I might. It's the first time I've actually even thought about it in years. But yes, you're right. I'm in the minority. The thing that I hear people saying is like, the football team sounds like a ridiculous name. Like, I think Kevin Sheehan on his podcast the other day was reading a tweet from Albert Breer, who used football team in the list of names. And he's reading the name, and Sheehan was all offended by the fact that he had just said football team because he thought it was like mocking them. But when you think about it, like, stripped of context, he reads something like, you know, it's a list of teams. So he reads like Browns, Jets, Chargers, Eagles, football team. And, you know, if you stop and think about it for a second, only one of those is accurate. The rest of them, there's no Eagles. The Browns don't even wear brown. There's no Jets. The football team, however, is, in fact, a football team. So from a purely pedantic argument, you know, it's kind of more honest than any of the other dumb names that are out there. So they got that going for them.
That was one of the worst jokes I've ever heard.
I don't know.
Was that a joke? Did it qualify as a joke?
I don't even know anymore.
What else happened? Julie Donaldson replaced Larry Michael.
Yes.
That's, I mean, I also, like, I feel bad saying it in case it ever makes it to her ears. Like, I don't know anything about Julie Donaldson. I couldn't have, like, picked out a lineup. I don't know if she's good, bad, whatever. She's got to be better than Larry Michael. And there's other positives to it. Like, that's a good change.
Yes, agreed. If on top of everything else, Larry was really the face and the voice of what I keep referring to as sort of the old organizational mindset. Like, it would be difficult for me to imagine rolling Larry Michael out onto the set and having him talk about, like, how, I don't know, Black Lives Matter or kneeling is okay, you know? Like,
oh my God.
Like, I can't even, he would have an absolute aneurysm trying to say those things. So it's good that they're not even putting him in that position. It's just the cleaner the break you can get, the better. And like, I know it looks like they might be getting rid of Snyder, or Snyder might be getting rid of himself, or however you want to put it. Like, and I'm sure we'll get to that. But given that that's the longest of long shots, if every single other thing in the team changes, then it becomes a little more palatable to have Snyder stuck there forever. You know what I mean?
I also feel bad. Who was the old radio booth? Not that I ever listened to it, obviously, but like calling the games. It was Michael Cooley, Doc Walker.
Yeah. I think was Doc was down on the sideline, but was still contributing, I believe. Yeah.
Was there a third person in the booth?
I don't think so. Once Sonny left, I think once Sonny left, it was just Larry and Chris.
Well, the new Sonny, Sam and Frank, or Larry, Chris and Doc, or whatever. I think it's Julie Donaldson, Bram Weinstein and D'Angelo Hall. Right.
Yep.
That seems pretty good.
Yeah, it was. It's funny because I hadn't thought of Bram for doing it for some reason. But I think he'll do great. And I think he has all the same reference points we do. I think he has, you know, you can't call him young anymore. Like neither of us is young. No, but he's a younger mindset at least than like a Larry Michael. I think he'll do a clean, crisp play-by-play. I'm intrigued to see what Julie Donaldson's role is in the booth. Do you have any sense of what they're planning on doing there?
She'll be calling plays, right?
No, I think Bram is play-by-play. Oh, and you know, obviously D'Angelo is the classic like ex-player color commentary guy. That's why I'm not quite clear what Julie Donaldson's role is going to be.
Title chief content officer, and isn't that what Larry Michael's title was?
I believe so. Yes, on both counts.
I just think that's hilarious.
in what way? I mean, there's many,
well, I just think of like. I don't know. I think of like BuzzFeed or Vox Media having a chief content officer. I don't think of like a corporation or like the Washington football team having a chief content officer. I mean, I guess it fits. It just seems very highfalutin.
It does. He may even have been an executive VP of content or something. I don't know for sure. Yeah. But I like the idea of detaching the play-by-play guy from a direct role with the team, you know, like in some way you can have Donaldson there as sort of oversight and sure it means the booth is still like connected to the team, but at least the play-by-play guy himself is no longer the chief content officer and primary face of the team. I like that separation.
And they also have a new president, Jason Wright, who I feel kind of similar to the Julie Donaldson thing. Like I like it, even though I don't really know anything
about
him. First black president in NFL history. Like, that's awesome.
Yep.
Not Bruce Allen. Also cool.
Also good.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I like it.
Have you, on top of that, because those were definitely the initial two reactions, but then, like, have you listened to him at all or heard interviews with him or anything?
No.
He comes off incredibly impressive. Like, not just adequate, but smart, insightful, like has opinions and ideas and articulates them like clearly, both in a personal and an organizational sense. I mean,
I did see him on like Good Morning America or something.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking like, he seems really presidential, and I don't mean of like a football team.
Yeah, no. He's very good, it seems like. And I mean, the question with all these people is, will they be allowed to be very good, and will they be allowed to survive in that environment? And yep. I mean, that's the eternal question, right?
Well, so much happened this offseason. I mean, first of all, I'm just going to mention it. We don't even need to talk about it. They also hired Ron Rivera. they upgraded a coach, I think. I mean, not like, I'm not saying it's like a mega upgrade, but you know, they replaced Gruden with Rivera. It seemed, you know, to be a competent, well,
I think that's a mega upgrade.
Hire at the time, you know.
Yeah.
Now he has cancer, and seems to be going through what sounds like sort of intense treatment for that. I'm not sure what that's going to look like for him this season. But yeah, that's a factor.
Yeah, that contributes. I do think that's a mega upgrade, by the way. Like, I think Gruden was at best adequate, and I think Rivera is at best good to very good, and that's a significant difference.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I just didn't want to like overstate it, like that. You know, we got like the best coach in the league. I just feel like it was the best, maybe like the best possible hire you could expect from the Washington football team.
It has turned out to be a really good bridge from the old way where you were like, well, at least there's one guy who, you know, is thoughtful and trying and works on a, you know, system of honor and respect. And now you're like, oh, well, that's what the bulk of the organization is at least allegedly trying to do. And I don't know. I mean, it's he seems like a really good fit there, assuming, you know, God willing, that he's able to be healthy and contribute and so on and so forth.
So the last thing that I could think of, I mean, what else? I mean, they drafted Chase Young. I mean, whatever. There's stuff like that affects the roster. Drafting Chase Young, he's got to be looked at as a positive development. Alex Smith coming back, making the roster. That's pretty remarkable. But the other thing was like the, I don't know what we even call this, the sexual misconduct, the stuff that, you know, is reported on multiple occasions with multiple different stories and sources in the Washington Post about stuff that goes back within the organization from before when even you were there.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not like a positive necessarily. Obviously that it happened. I think it's a positive that it's being revealed.
I agree. I don't think the organization could ever truly move forward without something like this happening. I think they needed to reckon with it. I think it needed to be, for there to be any chance of that culture not continuing. And I can't speak to many of the specifics involved, but I can say that the culture there was consistently, at best, very frat house, very like stereotypically jockish. Mm-hmm. And I, in addition to believing people because you should believe people, I 1000% just based on what I saw there, believe every single thing that everybody involved is being accused of without hesitation.
By the way, for the listener, what years were you there?
I was there from 2008 to 2011, which overlaps significantly with the information in the second story. I knew a number of the people, like reasonably well, who were willing to put their names and faces on the record to speak up about this in the second story. And what I will say on that is I reached out to all of them and said that I was really impressed with them for doing that. That was my sort of take on that. But like, I don't think you can fix that. I think that culture just perpetuates, because the reason I say, because it was really easy to just do what I have just done literally seconds ago and just dismiss it as like, oh, it's a sports team. This is what it's like. It's jockish. It's just bro-ish, you know, it's a real, you know, whatever. And it was going to take somebody being like, no, this is wrong. And this mm-hmm. cannot be allowed to be minimized and allowed to continue. And that's why I'm so impressed with the people who not only, but were able to make that cognitive leap that I didn't. I mean, frankly, I am guilty of perpetuating the cycle simply by just being like, well, whatever. I mean, I figure that's what all football teams are like. I don't know. I was only there mm-hmm. for 3 years. I mean, are all things that I have quite literally said. So, I think that that's an essential step to the positive, even though, yes, obviously the occurrences are, without exception, real bad.
And very interesting in the most recent, you know, reporting is the response to the reporting was the team issuing two statements, one from the owner and one from the president, both with, you know, different tones. And that sort of, you know, speaks to maybe the larger issue of the biggest thing that could happen with the team. Like the one thing that didn't happen this offseason is Snyder either being removed from ownership or selling the team. And yeah, it just seems like there's been enough things that have stacked up this offseason where for the first time ever, I thought that might happen.
Agreed. I mean, it appears clear that it appears clear that at best there is some sort of break between the minority owners and Snyder. The extent of that break is actually literally being litigated as Snyder is accusing what Dwight Orchestra had. There, I will also say, like, you know, I'm not a big one for conspiracy theories, and I don't believe one here, but if there's a conspiracy against Dan Snyder, I would say that what's happened over the last 4 months is exactly what it would look like. I mean, it was just hit after hit.
Even though Snyder is still the owner, what an incredible offseason. Just put a pin in it. There's like 8 different huge things that happened with this organization, and pretty really? Much all most of them were very positive.
Is there anything more Redskins than having a perfect, terrific, uplifting offseason
and also in like
what is by almost any other metric the worst year in recent human history,
or one of their worst seasons? And I'm segueing, I'm transitioning into the actual regular 2020 regular season. What looks to be like another pretty bad season ahead. Like great offseason sandwiched by probably 2 double-digit loss seasons. Last year they were only 3-13, second worst record in the league. This year, if you look at Vegas, like the lines I'm looking at right now, they're projected for 5.5 wins, which is the second lowest win total in the season. For the season, only the Jaguars, who are tanking, have fewer than 5.5, and they're tied with Carolina, Cincinnati, and that's it. So not great.
Why?
About what? About this season?
I can't help but be optimistic, though. I really can't. Yeah. I don't know. I got nothing. To be perfectly honest, there's nothing. There's no reason on earth to feel optimistic about it, except I don't know. Like, there has to be some positive momentum off of everything we were just discussing that is non-quantifiable and anti-analytic. And I don't know. Maybe it's just me looking at it narratively or something, but I feel like the good vibes are going to continue into the season. I just do.
Well, first of all, like if you were to look at their schedule, I think they have a favorable schedule. Like I think it's one of the softer ones overall in the league, but like, just look at it. It's like, where are the wins? Like, I'm sure they're going to win some games, but who are you picking them to beat? It's just, I don't know.
Well, I think I believe.
Yes, didn't happen.
Boy, it's funny when you look at the schedule and it starts with this preseason schedule that just flat out doesn't exist.
Like that's my biggest.
Yeah,
thing. Like,
that's
I was
so
looking
weird.
At the schedule, because I was as a out of market fan without the Sunday ticket or whatever. I'm like trying to circle the games where they're going to be on national TV. You know, so I'm just Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night. Games, there are zero. There are none. The only game, I mean, that's a plus, I think, like, you know, because of their record in those games. But
well, that's good. That's
there are
a plus.
Zero national games. The only game that you can bank on that will be national from their schedule is Dallas on Thanksgiving at 4:30, which is probably like right when I'll be sitting down for the most important meal of the year. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Agreed.
Well,
with
dining table.
No more than 10 of your closest friends.
But like,
and
there's a decent chance I'm
6
like
feet away from you. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Oh, see, this is a market out of market thing. I'm going to be watching no matter what. But let's run through it really quickly. You know, so week one. I always believe week one is a toss-up, especially this season when literally no one knows anything about any of the teams. Philadelphia is beaten up. You know, it's. I would not say Washington is likely to win, but it's not impossible to conceive of.
They're favored by, what, 5 or 6 points. Like, they're better. Of course, the Redskins could win. But, yeah, okay.
Presumably.
Okay.
Well, we'll get to some down the line that I don't think they could win. So Arizona, I think they're even less likely to win. Cleveland, though, I think the Washington certainly, you know, I think that's the realm that Washington is occupying these days. I think they're, you know, a coin toss with Cleveland. Then that I do not think they have a Yes, but now those now both those teams are allegedly incrementally better than they used to be. Let's see. In fact, they're really similar this year in that they both have new coaches, some talented players, and zero expectations because they have a history of being terrible. But yeah, then you've got the Ravens and the Rams, both of which I think are losses. The Giants, I think, are right there with Washington this year for being, who knows, mediocre. Cowboys are almost definitely better, which is depressing, but whatever. The bye week, fine. Giants, same again. Detroit, I think, is in that same sort of pocket with Washington. Cincinnati, we have literally no idea until we see what Joe Burrow can do in his rookie year. Dallas, again. I feel like that's the third Dallas game. I don't know, whatever. Pittsburgh is going to be much better. San Francisco is much better. Seattle is much better. Carolina, who knows? Entirely new organization, entirely new crew. And then a week 17 game against the Eagles, which, you know, everything in the world could be different by then. We could be allowed to sit close to each other by then. Who has any idea? So, I mean, I would say just going through those, it felt like there were like six chances, but that means there's 10 coin tosses on the schedule.
But I, the over, like, just assuming this line is correct that I'm looking at, the over under is 5.5.
Sure.
I'm going to go slightly under and go 5-11. I think there is some.
I'll go slightly over and go 6-10. I think they can do it.
Defensive line should be amazing. But, dude, they were 3-13 last year and they earned it. Like, their point differential was 169. Their point differential average was minus 11 points. They lost the last four games of the season. I mean, I think they got Chase Young, but, like, what else did they get? They lost some guys. I don't know what, like, the cause for optimism really as it pertains to 2020 is. Like, I just feel like there's probably, like, maybe a little bit of, like, regression to the mean or whatever to get them up to like 5 or 6 wins, but that's probably like as good as it's going to get.
See, I think this is the second time in this conversation where you are drastically undervaluing the coaching change. I mean, I think the previous coaching staff ranged from mediocre down to bad, and that was even before they were lame duck. Before they were then replaced by an interim coach, and interim coaches are never good. And this interim coach's goal seemed to be to end the games as quickly as humanly possible. I mean, the entire, it's similar to what I was saying about the front office stuff. The entire philosophy of the team has shifted. The philosophy of the offense is different. The philosophy of the defense is different. The defensive coaches have a track record of success and quick success, which is very different from the last like four guys they've had in that position. Head coach actually seems to understand how to run a room and run a team, which the last guy with the best will in the world did not. I think there's a lot of reasons there to believe in improvement. I think that, you know, the quarterback, you have to assume that from a rookie year to a second year under any circumstances, there's going to be a drastic step. And all indications are that this has been even more drastic than most. And then the defense, you add Chase Young, you add better coaches, you use the guys who are there better. I don't know. I mean, I'm not in any way remotely saying they're going to be a winning team, but I can certainly see the path to respectability and a vastly more pleasant season
with like Chase Young being the catalyst for like all these highly drafted dudes to like just become like an impact defense. Then that really changes things. I think that's the path to them being a decent team this year. You know, but without that, they're just gonna. The most important thing this season is probably like figuring out if Haskins is or is not a good quarterback, because we have no idea. But and all his offseason seems to have been great by like every measure.
Agreed.
And we have no idea. He did last year with some, you know, showing out a little bit. Even overall, the rookie season was tough, but at the end of the year, he had some good performances. It was sort of garbage. he might be good. We don't really know. I'd like for his comp to stop being Josh Rosen. But the rest of the offense is so meager. Like, outside of Terry McLaurin, I mean, it's got to be the worst supporting cast of any quarterback in the NFL. I know that there's skill position guys. There was like an NFL ranking. They came in dead last. And then you look at the offensive line, and I've never heard of the left tackle or left guard.
Well, the offensive line is my biggest worry. The skill position guys, I mean, we have no idea. We also don't know how they're going to be used. I have real hopes that Scott Turner has a little of the old Norv Turner magic. I mean, the thing I remember most about Norv Turner is nothing he did with the Redskins. He came to the Cowboys and saved Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman was, you know, was he first overall? And he was struggling badly. He was being outplayed by Steve Walsh. The credit was entirely given to Norv Turner coming in and building an offense that flattered Aikman's skills, helping Aikman make the most of his skills. And I'm hoping that Scott Turner has a similar touch. You know, obviously they're two totally different human beings, but like, you know, it's just, you hope for something like that happening. And if the reason they got rid of Peterson is because they plan on using their running backs differently, you know, passing to the backs, this, you know, a lot of weird motion and option, which seems to be what everybody who watches the team is hinting towards, although they can't quite come out and say it. You know, just simply building an offense designed for your personnel and then training your personnel in that offense.
Yeah, I'm glad they got rid of Peterson. Running back,
that's different than what they've been doing.
Like, I like the most on offense, even though I don't know that any of them are difference makers. But, like, I'm just not too concerned. You've got Antonio Gibson. Was he a second rounder or a third rounder out of Memphis? Yeah, I mean, he sounds like an exciting player. Could be a miss, but, you know, also could
third.
Be like a breakout.
I thought third, but I could be wrong.
Playmaker. McKissick is kind of a receiving running back, like a third down back. Yeah. Peyton Barber seems like kind of a
Chris Thompson substitute, I think.
Type. Is that accurate? And then Bryce Love, who was good at Stanford and has not.
I think that's exactly accurate. Yes.
Since Stanford. Yeah.
Correct. He's been rehabbing from whatever horrible knee injury he suffered and has done nothing. But I think the reason we like them the best is because they have nobody on there has disappointed us.
I mean, I just feel like it's kind of a group of replacement level guys.
Right.
And then Antonio Gibson, you know, and that's fine. Yeah. But like, that's fine.
Who may just be a replacement
relative to wide receiver and tight end. Like, wide receiver is McLaurin and a bunch of dudes that I'm not sure they'd be on other rosters.
Well, Steven Sims showed some flashes last year.
And then
it's a bunch of other dudes who literally weren't on other rosters for the most part.
What round was he? He was a lower round guy. Okay. Yeah, he might have been fourth. I don't know. It could have been lower. But like,
I thought he was fourth, I thought. But maybe him.
Maybe. But they kind of need him to be. Because Sims was fine. He's like kind of a slot, like gimmick play guy. I don't know. I mean, he seems kind of like a guy that every team has, like at the end of their kind of wide receiver group.
I don't know. See, I think that if McLaurin continues on the pace from last year and is a genuine like superstar number one wide receiver, and if Sims is your sort of fast gadget or slot guy, then all you need really is some adequate third receiver. Maybe it's Dontrell Inman or maybe it's Gandy Goldman. Right. You know, I just think it just needs to be somebody who is fine and like a replacement level player, I think is fine in that position. Again, if they are using their schemes wisely, if you've got two pass catching running backs in and three wideouts, then like that's a lot for a defense to consider. You know, even if the guys aren't that great, it at least creates a that's what I'm hoping. Right. What it comes down to is what I'm hoping for is that this will be an exciting, interesting team to watch, right, even if they lose. I guess, and that would be miles ahead of where they've been the last 3 years.
That would be great, because I just don't think any of these guys can get open. Like, I think McLaurin can get open, but like the tight ends, the tight end position is probably the bleakest one yet. And I'm worried you've got this quarterback, unproven, who it's a very formative year for him. And out of all the receivers, running backs here, I mean, there's, as far as I can tell, like one guy who can get open. That's not great. Yeah.
Well, again, and that's where I come back to the coaches hopefully being.
Why do I want to keep calling Logan Thomas Logan?
Which the last round
was there a Logan Paulson? So Logan Thomas is a different guy.
There was, and he was a tight end for the Redskins. So, yes, and there's rumors that he will be involved in gadget plays and trickery. It just really sounds like they're building up for a weird, weird offense, which is good for two reasons. One, it could be fun to watch, but two, it means that they are also aware of their shortcomings, which has been one of the team's biggest problems over the last several years, is they never admitted that. So I don't know. I don't know. It just doesn't have the same, I don't even want to say bleak, but just like dreary feeling.
So what is a good season?
Like there's reasons to
amazing off season. What's a good regular season for the football team?
I mean, the good regular season is that Dwayne Haskins looks like a starting caliber NFL quarterback, and Chase Young lives up to the hype, and everything else is kind of just details. Like if those two things happen and they go 2-14, like, okay, fine. But if those two things happen and they go 9-7, like that's probably beyond great. Right. So I don't know. I think all that matters is the individual things and then, will ownership continue to have patience? Will they let it grow? None of the other stuff. The record, for all intents and purposes, doesn't really matter. It seems unlikely to be worse than last year. So
I think for me,
they'll be able to point to improvement almost no matter what.
A successful season is one of two things have to happen. Haskins has to look like the franchise quarterback. If he does that, it doesn't matter what the record is. It's a good season. And I don't know that you can quantify that, you know? I mean, like Blake Bortles had 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns for the Jaguars 2 or 3 years ago. But he still wasn't like a franchise quarterback. Right. So I don't know what the numbers are around that.
Right, he never even looked good.
By the end of the year, we're looking at it and we're like happy to have him as our quarterback going forward. That's a successful year. The other thing is if they're somehow a surprise contender. Like, even if Haskins isn't looking like a franchise guy, if they're somehow, like, fighting for that eighth playoff spot, I think that's successful. Because it would just be so – it would be so fun and delightful after a 3-win season with 5 or 6 win expectation for them to be, like, 9-7. Your silence is deafening.
I'm trying to think of how to articulate what I'm trying to say, because I agree with you. I guess it's this. I guess, you know, we talked a lot about the front office moves and the coaching moves and everything else, and our general feeling is that they feel to us more like a professional organization, and certainly more like an organization that we, or that I at least, want to root for and I'm comfortable rooting for. And I think there's something not just with the quarterback, like you said about Bortles, but with the team as a whole. Like you watch some teams and you're like, oh, this is a team that's going somewhere. They may not be there yet, but like this is a viable organization.
Well, I guess there's and some combination
that's,
of the two.
That's it. I just want them to feel that way, which they haven't
where it's
for
like,
years.
Maybe Haskins just looks okay or you know, okay to good. You know, it's like he's fine. But the team also looks okay to good. And they're like a 7-win team, you know, that seems to be on the right path. I think that too would feel like a successful season.
I feel like they could be a 4-win team and be on the right path, and we'd know it if we saw it. And it's almost impossible to articulate, but it's just
there's it's hard to polish that turd. Like 4-12 is just no fun for anybody.
Well, but I mean, then you, but you said that you expect them to go 5-11 at best. So you basically,
I mean, dude, they're Vegas expects them to be five and a half.
Wow, that's a real, downer.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like,
oh, well, justifiably so. They've been dreadful for, you know, the better part of 30 years now. Season
where I'm like happy with how it went. I don't know. Yeah.
I think mm-hmm. if they get beaten 12 times by teams who are performing better, by better teams, basically, but they look like a competitive, respectable team. I think I'd have to look through. I feel like there's teams that have done this over the years where they don't win, but you're like, okay, all right. I see what's growing there, and I see how they can get to where they need to be.
You know, to be a franchise guy. I don't know how many games the Cardinals won last year. I can tell you real quick. But like they're okay. So the Cardinals went 5-10-1 last year, but they had a new coach, a new quarterback. And this year people are like, oh, they're probably going to be like 500, could be a surprise playoff team. You know, they picked up Hopkins in the offseason. Like, I feel like it's all positive. So maybe that.
Yeah. I don't feel like the offseason moves just sort of emphasized it.
Coming out of their 5-win season.
Yeah. I think it's hard to visualize the comparison because Kyler Murray is so distinctive and it feels more like the Redskins with RG3 back in the day. But I don't think they have a player like that. So it's going to be more difficult to picture, but I think something like that is the best case scenario.
Five or fewer games last year, Miami, who, you know, if you love Tua, you feel good. If not, you feel like you're a fan of Miami.
But I will say that coming out of last season, everybody was sort of like, hey, you know, they won when they thought they were going to tank. Flores really has put together an organization to be proud of. There was a positive vibe coming out of that miserable season.
Might be good.
Yes. Yeah. Which is where we absolutely have to be for this team because this is actually mentally healthy. I don't think we're.
If there's one thing I can consistently be, it's super mentally healthy.
That's me, man.
I'm kind of surprised that the football season is beginning on time. Pretty wild stuff.
Yeah, I really, I mean, it's become clear that it was going to happen, but when they were first talking about it, I thought there was no chance. They've really proved me wrong.
Thousands of fans.
I did. Leaving aside the health risk of it all, I feel like it'd be super weird to be in a full-size NFL stadium that is only hosting 6,000 fans. Doesn't it seem like that would be a really strange vibe?
Like somebody who, like, you know, has a bunch of like six different Trump flags on their boat. You know, like it's got to be just like you're going as a state to make a statement. Like, rather than going because you want to like enjoy like the live football experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the live football experience, as I've said so many times, is just miserable. I don't know why anybody goes to games in the first place. So I assume you're right. But it feels to me like it would almost be worse because it's not even going to be like 6,000 fans like when they do like the watch party or something and they cluster everybody together. It's going to be 6,000 fans spread out across the entirety of the stadium. So I think it's going to be really weird to see. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Then yes, I could see going. But like that's a weird series of hypotheticals because my team is not good, hasn't been good for
sure.
Stadium is awful and I haven't been in years anyway, and I wouldn't really feel safe. So I don't really get it at all.
Yeah, no, it makes zero sense to me. But I am very excited to watch from the relative comfort and safety of my own home.
Going to be permitted. The Jaguars on the high end are 25%. They're going to have a quarter of a stadium. The Colts are allowing 3%. Like, why? Is it like family members? Like, what is, why 3%? That's just a...
Yeah.
It just seems really weird. I mean, like, picture a stadium and then picture each section mm-hmm. having, you know, one person in it. Like, that's just bizarre. There's no way that can be enjoyable for the players, the fans, or anything. That's just really weird.
On the Washington football team, I think we've just done a spectacular job recapping and previewing.
I think we have as well. I
know. I somehow managed to do like football in like, without talking about football.
6 years.
You know what? I do want to upgrade our podcast, by the way. I was thinking about this the other day.
It's impressive.
The ESPN's version of The Daily. I think it's hosted now by Pablo Torre, who is not Pablo Torres. Uh-huh. I did not realize that. He's Pablo Torre. I didn't realize that until I was listening to the show. But they do. I was totally so like, you know, the Daily is like really
this is well news to me as well.
Overly produced, where like they keep doing different like sound beds with like dramatic strings and like xylophones and stuff like underneath the reporters talking. ESPN Sports Daily does that too, and I don't understand why, because it'll be like, Aaron Rodgers threw 28 touchdown passes last year. Do you think he'll beat that number this year? And then it'll be like, pause. Cue dramatic strings, and then NFL reporter answers the question. I'm like, why don't they just have two people talking to one another?
Well, I mean, because anybody could do that, literally, as we're demonstrating. I think you need to change your introduction style, because what I've been noticing on podcasts is people will do like a pre-roll, and they'll be like, hey, you know, guys, today we're going to be talking to Matt Turrell. You know, Matt has experience with X, Y, and Z, and he does this. So we're going to get to my conversation with Matt now. And they cut to the tape day, and he goes, hey, guys, I'm here with Matt Turrell. Matt is such and such. And they introduced again. I think you need to start doing it deliberately on purpose, right at the beginning. Also, I've noticed people resetting interviews in the middle, like they do when they're radio hosts, even though nobody on earth has ever come into a podcast in the middle. But so like midway through, you have to be like, I'm talking to Matt Turrell. We need to start incorporating these things. And then I'm willing to also put in the light strings midway through.
It was Bill Simmons. It was Guess the Lines with Cousin Sal. And I just wanted like a whip around of all of the games for week one. That's pretty much all I wanted. Like, what are the lines? What do they think? Next game. And it was supposed to start at the 17-minute mark. That was like the episode description. So I started 17-minute mark. I spent, I don't know how many minutes I spent, but I actually had to fast forward or whatever, 45 minutes of chit-chat and ad reads before I finally got to the Guess the Lines. Like, if you're going to timestamp your fucking podcast, timestamp your fucking podcast.
I totally agree. I have to say, on a broader note, I've been really struggling listening to Simmons lately, and I don't think it has to do with the report on him and the questionable, what was it, racial politics of the Ringer or whatever, however you want to characterize it. But for some reason, it's like my whatever it was about Simmons that was entertaining me just all of a sudden stopped for me. And I don't think he's changed. I'm not criticizing him at all. If anything, I think he has studiously not changed. But I just, like, I don't know. I haven't been able to listen lately. Have you?
Well, I think I've
drastically.
I don't know. I haven't
barely recognizable as a human being
anymore. Like all NBA, and I like the NBA. I just don't need to hear like an hour conversation about the games that I just watched. Like I already know what happened. So sorry.
Yeah, I've reached the point where one of my big realizations over the pandemic is that I don't think I actually like the NBA.
Did you know that I've had no problem
not watching it whatsoever. I haven't missed it in the least.
Can you name the four teams that are in the conference finals for the NHL?
I was vaguely aware of it. We were talking about my work with Breaking Tea
because, you know, we're doing hockey shirts. I don't think the average fan could name more than like maybe two.
Yeah. I don't think I can name any. I know I heard about an exciting game either yesterday or the day before, but for the life of me, I can't remember who was in it or what happened. So
on one side, in the West. And then it's the New York Islanders.
I did know that. I did know that the Golden Knights were still in it.
I don't know if it's Tampa Bay or Tampa Lightning in the East. And I guess the reason I bring it up is like, I just don't think that ring any bells at all. for a combination of reasons, I feel like it's the least attention getting NHL pair of conference finals that I can recall.
Well, the whole thing, all the two sports that came back and tried these modified three sports that came back and tried these modified versions because of the pandemic, I just feel like it triggers that preseason mentality in fans where you're like, oh, this game isn't a real game. This
I'm into baseball. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. More than I normally would be, and I'm not quite sure why. Yeah,
my daughter really was. Other than the Nats,
put a damper on that for her. If they play better than they've been playing, I don't know. Get to 19-31 through their first 50 games, and they are so far in last place and so far out of it that like they are one of like a handful of teams that has almost no chance of making the playoffs. Yet last year they started 19-31 and won the fucking World Series. It's pretty remarkable. Pretty remarkable season. Well, I know. I'm not saying they're going to come back and win the World Series. I'm just saying
there were a lot more games
for them to do that last year. Yeah.
Yeah. No. It was, and thank God we had that because this town needed it. Oh, so last question on the pandemic sports thing though. What do you think the reaction is going to be to the NFL with no preseason? I feel like tonight's opener is sort of going to take everybody by surprise that it even exists. Is it going to be regular viewership for the NFL, regular enthusiasm, or will it
whatever,
be
diminished? Like probably high ratings, maybe even higher than before. I think everything's going to be, I think people are going to be like, oh yeah, that play was sloppy or like this team didn't seem prepared, but it's not going to be that rough. I think the thing that is going to be interesting, and we haven't seen it yet, is like what is the live sports experience going to be like? Is it going to seem like baseball is kind of weird? It's like super quiet in the stadium and on the broadcast. And it's just kind of like off. Whereas like NBA has done an incredible job, like simulating like an arena, you know? So when you're watching, it just feels kind of normal. I wonder how that's going to be with NFL. Like, is it going to seem like, you know, they're playing in a morgue, or is it going to just seem kind of normal?
Well, I think one thing that I think is interesting is I think the crowd, an actual crowd, is much less involved in an NFL broadcast. Like, I think you can fake the audio if you want to, which I'm fine with them doing, but you don't actually see the crowd all that much, just given the angle it's shot at. You know what I mean? So I think it's actually easier to make it feel less weird.
Yeah.
Like baseball, there's no way around.
I think if you don't see empty seats, and they're simulating noise, effectively or whatever, I think football is going to be a resounding success. All told.
I agree. I'm excited for it. I'm really like genuinely glad to have football back on the air. I hope that their protocols hold and we get a whole season, because I think it would be really pleasant to have around.
All right, man.
Let's plan to. I mean, why? I hate making plans in two.